Welcome. This is the Lowdown.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
The Lowdown. With Damian Barley.
You realize this is our radio show,
yeah,
right?
Jason Ross.
But they just need to get it right.
And Ken Rudolph.
My honest answer would be something that's probably going to be offensive.
The Lowdown.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. The Lowdown.
You mad, bro?
You mad, bro?
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
Now.
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't sick.
This is The Lowdown.
To win a national
championship.
And I don't think they're in as good a shape as we are.
Either. Not.
Y'all
wrong.
All right. Things that have to happen. Your defense has got to be better. Candace Parker, you better deny the middle of the floor every time. 100%. Whoever's up there, deny the floor.
Let's go.
The other thing that we have to do is when they take shots, they take contested shots, and we put a physical presence into them, a body on everybody.
I remember just hearing that part right there where she says they're not in as good a shape as we are.
Yeah.
It reminds me of it was during the Maya Moore era of UConn.
Yes, sir.
And they were winning, and Maya is shredded. She has, you know, arms. She's a thicker girl, but she's in very, very good shape. And a number of their players are, like, long and lean. And I remember Pat coming home from practice. Karen and I were there, and the strength and conditioning coach was there. She comes in hollering, why are we in such bad shape? We were watching the UConn play the night before. Why are we in such bad shape? Why is UConn so lean and so fit and all our girls are fat? The very next day, the entire training regimen changed for that team.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She only has to say stuff once.
Yeah.
It's 1:04, time for the Jacuzzi 60th anniversary sale at Jacuzzi of Sacramento. At Jacuzzi of Sacramento. Call 315-TUBS. Nancy Lieberman is going to join us at the bottom of this hour. We got a coach-oriented 3 the Hard Way coming up here in just a second. But, Ken, we wanted to get you in. We appreciate you holding. What do you got for us, my friend?
Hey, thanks a lot for taking the call. I just wanted to call and pay tribute to Coach Summitt. I'm a sports fan, and so I've always paid attention to the legends and their perspective sports. What Pat Summitt did for women's basketball basically is – she was women's basketball. And I was thinking of, you know, what you were talking about when she came out to recruit Vicky Baugh and then she's walking in the gym. I would imagine that seeing Pat Summitt walk into your gym as a young female basketball player was like it must have been to see John Wooden walk into your basketball gym in 1966. Knowing that he was coming to see you was basically, that's all the stamp of approval you needed. And for Pat Summitt to show up to look at you play because she may be interested in you coming to play for her is just the absolute top of the line endorsement that you can ever get. And you follow that for life, or that follows with you for life. You know, you look at the respect that her former players have for her when they talk about her. It's always with such respect and reverence. And one of the things about Pat Summitt in terms of what she done is, if I'm not mistaken, something like 98% of her players got college degrees. I think when you take a look at, ultimately, the responsibility of a coach is sure. Not only are you teaching these young men and women to be better athletes, but you're also teaching these better people. And I think when you have a success record where the majority or the vast majority of your players have graduated, I think it speaks to the moral standard that you've instilled in your program. And when you come in there, it's not just coming to participate in the basketball program. You're coming to take part in the first step of the rest of your life. And that's part of the recruiting pitch. I remember hearing that when your girls come play for me, they're going to get an education. So people like that, you just do not forget them. You know, rest in peace, Pat Summitt. I have nothing but good things to say about you from all I've heard and all that you've done. And the last thing, unfortunately, is this woman was only 64 years of age.
Yeah.
That is awfully young to lose somebody so great to such a horrible disease. But she left a legacy. She will be remembered. And at the end of the day, if people remember you for more for what you did than who you were, I think that says a lot about what you did. So rest in peace, Pat.
We appreciate you, Ken. You're always on the money, my man. Thank you so much. It's 64. That's not even one thing that we've talked about. It killed me the other day when I was – knew it was close, and I realized that Miss Hazel, her mother, is still alive.
Yeah, yeah,
that's and what, her mom is full of so much energy. It's so incredible to be around her. I mean, she's 4 foot something, 5 foot nothing.
Yeah,
you know, she's so much fun, and I think she's, you know, in her 90s or late 80s. She's absolutely incredible woman, and to think that she outlived her daughter is just.
And that's the most painful thing for any parent.
Yeah. I can't even.
Any parent.
I can't even begin to imagine. We'll segue here. Nancy Lieberman at the bottom of the hour. We'll segue here into one of our staples, Three the Hard Way.
Three the Hard Way. Three the Hard Way.
And it's very coach-oriented. So, Ken Rudolph, why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, let's start with that word. Let's start with that word. When I was growing up, my dad was the coach. And I remember when I came back here to work for Good Day Sacramento, the first thing I wanted to do was do a story on our baseball coach at Cordova High School. And his name's Guy Anderson. And Coach Anderson said to me, he's like, Kenny, growing up, there's only really two words that mean anything in my family, priest and coach. And that got me thinking, what does coach mean to you guys? What does that word mean?
I use that for people I have a lot of respect for. I think a coach is a leader and a teacher. I've been around a lot of coaches in my life. None of them are mine because I wasn't athletic enough to have a coach. But Pat, obviously, as she said, you can call me Patty, you can call me Coach, and I always called her both. I can think of Mike Tebow, the coach of the Washington Mystics. He's the winningest coach in the WNBA. I have a endless amount of respect for him. I don't think I've called him anything but coach. Coach Wiz, he was the coach of the Sacramento Monarchs. He was a guy who commanded and earned respect, and he was a tremendous teacher. I refer to him this day as Coach Wiz. There's a number of people who have that position as coach that I refer to them by their first name. But it's, in my eyes, that term is a teacher and it's a leader.
Yeah. I wrote down teacher, respect, and authority figure, and I probably lived my life in the way I probably shouldn't have, in the sense that a lot of that should probably go towards teachers, but coaches were that for me. I was into sports, played sports, wanted to be everything in sports, so all the coaches in my life, from being, you know, a soccer, you know, kid where everybody's running around in the same little pack, to playing high school and trying to play in college, there's too much impact, and there's negative coaches too, but it's also what you learn from those coaches that you maybe, as you get older, you're starting to disagree with or not seeing what they're telling you or not agreeing. But that's where the teaching comes in, or your own learning on, okay, I don't agree with this, but I see what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so coaches probably have, besides my family and my parents, had some of the biggest impact in my life.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. My father was my coach, but up until, you know, I was about 13, and then, you know, I was in somebody else's hands. Mm-hmm. And so I think because my father was instilled that in me, I always had this great respect for coach. And yeah, there's always going to be coaches that you have that you don't agree with what they're doing or what they're thinking. But it's always been teachers. Maybe a teacher or two got through to me, but coach was always the guy that squared me away. Coach. And even now today, I was a T-ball coach, which means nothing really if you think about it. But then I saw two of the kids outside of no longer playing T-ball. Hi, Coach Ken.
Yeah.
Hi, Coach Ken. And I'm like, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that because I want to be that positive influence for these kids for the rest of their lives if
wanna
I can.
Open up the next couple of segments for you here before Nancy Lieberman joins us. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We got derailed a little bit because we took Ken's phone call, which was totally worth it. We got two more Three the Hard Way questions coming for you next on The Lowdown. Swin A Team, time for the Jacuzzi 60th anniversary sale at Jacuzzi of Sacramento. Call 315-TUBS. Want to get back to Three the Hard Way. Jason Ross, what do you got for us?
All right, we've got a coach theme today. So with the backdrop of this being the Three the Hard Way question, I'm going to say you're going to be a legendary coach. So it's an incredible honor. You're going to be considered legendary. But if that is the backdrop, would you rather that legendary coaching career be as a professional coach, a college coach, or a high school coach?
Okay. I will definitely say not at the professional ranks.
I was going to say that feels, as strangely as it sounds, like the least prestigious of all three of them.
Because you're not really teaching any like you are in the younger levels. So I think as far as, because we talk about coach being a teacher, you shape, you mold. And I think a lot of that happens at the high school level. So you have their attention. And I feel like I'd like to be a high school coach.
I thought that's where you would go, and I'm going to go one step above you. Yeah. I'll take your kids that you shape and mold and get them in college.
Yeah.
And you ruin them? Yeah, ruin all my good work.
He said I would be great. He said I would be legendary.
You can't be legendary with a vegan coach.
Oh. What about you, Jay?
Yeah, I'd pick college too, but it's funny. I would go college, high school, pro. And pro, it's money and fame, but yeah. But you're going to get somebody that's been shaped, molded, and then you have them for 2 years and they move on. College, you're recruiting them, you're knowing the families. You're a part of their life. You're probably going to weddings and you know, baby christening. I don't know. You're a part of their life. And then in that town, if it's a small town like Pat, it's like places are named
after
you.
You're all in the place, yeah.
And high school, you can have that too. But I think college is, there's a little bit more of the sizzle of pro, but not quite that. And there'll be great money too.
There's impactful pro coaches, right?
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
Obviously,
yeah.
I mean, Buddy Ryan, we talked about the 30 for 30,
yes,
and
sir.
His guys were his guys.
Yep.
And they loved him.
And that's forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like Phil Jackson's, Popovich, Belichick. I mean, legends, but I don't know. I'd take the college.
Is it fair to say in college your impact is greater in terms of college isn't a league, but across the board in college as opposed to in the NBA or NFL, maybe your impact is with your players. And even though you're known throughout the league, maybe it's not as – like, why would Phil Jackson, as the coach of the Chicago Bulls, be impactful to the players on the Sacramento Kings?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is that a fair statement, or am I just caught up in the emotion of this college moment?
Well, I think it's fair, but I also think college – the coach, right or wrong, gets a lot more credit for it, too. It's like that's Pat Summitt's program. That is Nick Saban's program. They're getting great players, too.
Right, and the other thing is we talked about this with Coach Summitt, and I absolutely believe it's 100% true for a guy like Calipari. You think John Calipari helps recruit football players?
That's exactly
what I mean. So at a school, a great coach has probably felt more across the board.
That's true.
In terms of sports.
Yeah.
So you were impactful in that Lexington, Knoxville, Tuscaloosa, that whole community.
Yeah.
You are the community.
Exactly.
I guess that's maybe why I kind of was reluctant. Yeah, because the college coach has too much control, too much power. Because if a college coach doesn't like a player, he can make life absolutely miserable for that player just because he doesn't like him. Now, if your high school coach doesn't like you, he can make things difficult for you. But if you can play, he's going to play you.
Yeah.
Because at that level, there aren't a whole lot of people that can play. But for a college coach, you can play. But I got 26 other recruits that can play, and I don't like the way you act.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you at the bottom of the depth chart.
Yeah,
that's happened lots of times.
44-11-40. I've coached high school for 15 years, now coaching JUCO, but nothing beats Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, that's fun.
Loving high school there. So, again, this was kind of a coach theme here for Three the Hard Way. Nancy Lieberman's going to join us at the bottom of this hour. What coach in history, in sports, would you want to play for?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay.
Yeah, mine's easy too.
I got like eight of them.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you got to give me the top one. You can't give me eight of them. You got to give me the top one.
Okay. Because they're all like in different stages of my life. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So, but.
Okay, give me the first one and then we'll get to the other.
Okay. The first one.
50 or however.
Would be John McKay at USC.
I wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't
because
either.
Because growing up, that's tailback you, right? And then because he made the funniest quote in the history. So he goes from USC to coaching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The expansion team. They're horrible. John McKay says after they lose another game in the press conference, I still love this line. The reporter says, sir, how do you feel about your team's execution? John says, I'm in favor.
That is a great
line.
Come on,
that's awesome. Yeah.
That's an awesome line. But I didn't expect, because when we brought that up during the break, you were like, oh, mine's easy. I got it right away. I wasn't expecting that. What was
mine
yours?
I
know yours. It's
and
gotta
I agree
be.
With yours.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's got to be.
It's Wooden.
The Wizards.
Yeah. It's got, yeah.
Because I'd be at UCLA for one, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had all these other coaches.
I don't even know why we asked, Jason. That was
well, I like the way even just, I didn't personally see him coach at the end there, but he was a winner. I like just his style, too. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, being at UCLA would be great.
And just his life wisdom.
Yes.
You know, even little simple things like one of the lines that I use all the time, even with five-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Hey, be quick.
Yeah.
But not in a hurry.
Yeah.
Simple things like that.
Yeah.
Be quick, but not in a hurry. I love that. So, and then I met Coach Wooden and got a chance to interview him in 1998. And that was just one of the great pleasures of my life.
Yeah.
I don't think I sweat more than when I actually was in that little room and I met the coach and got to interview him. It was just so awesome.
44-11-40. The coach I want to play for, Mike Malone. Signed Boogie.
Too
Come
soon.
Come on, man. That's funny. That's funny.
Who's yours?
Bill Walsh just came through here on the text line, too, which I think is a good one. It's hard for me to remove myself from the moment and say it's not Pat.
Sure.
If I were to remove, I can't. I don't know if the answer would be different a year from now at this exact moment. It would be her.
Well, let's go another, back to this. What sport did you want to play? Like,
football.
Yeah, you really wanted to play football?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I sucked, and I was a wimp. Hmm. So maybe it'd be Vince Lombardi. That's the other name. I mean, every quote that you see, like, plastered on a wall is from Vince Lombardi. Yeah. What would have been like if he was, like, saying that quote that sticks around for 100 years to you?
To you, yeah.
Like, he was saying it right to you.
Wait,
being plastered on a board somewhere.
He wouldn't have said it to you because you wouldn't have made it to camp. But
I'll give you. Can I give you a current one? A current coach?
Pop? No.
No. This is just because of the way his style, his current style, like is Joe Madden.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
How
Definitely.
He does things. He's different.
Definitely.
He's quirky. Every plane trip would be a little bit different. And,
yeah.
I mean, you might. Who's in our dugout now? Clubhouse?
Why is
what?
There a
and
seal? Why are they dressed? Why is there a seal in the clubhouse?
There's why is there a mariachi band?
Yeah.
There's a mariachi band right now.
Full mariachi band.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Dean, I know we don't have a ton of time, but I wanted to get you in here, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Hey, you were talking about coaches. I mean, forget not liking players. Coaches can get athletic directors and chancellors of schools fired.
That's true.
I mean, look at all the turmoil at USC and in other schools.
Baylor.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And I, you know, you're talking about coaches I like to play for. I know Jay Ross is a UCLA Bruin guy, but I have to tell you, when I was a kid, I grew up in Southern California, family, huge SC fans going way back to the 50s at least. And when I was a kid growing up in the 70s, our weekend was SC football and the John McKay show on Sunday. Mm-hmm. With Stu Nahan interviewing him, and that guy had more one-liners, and there was just something about John McKay.
There you go.
He wasn't as awesome as John Wooden as far as, I think, overall respect, but John McKay was quite the – he was kind of the rock star version of John Wooden, I think.
You won Ken Rudolph over there, something fierce with that one. Dean, we appreciate you so much for calling. Join Sports 1140 at Folsom Diesel Works today from 1 to 2, 1126 Sibley Street in Folsom with any oil or filter change. Score 2 tickets to the Folsom Rodeo. Take care of your truck's overall performance. Visit them at FolsomDieselWorks.com. Nancy Lieberman joins us next on The Lowdown. Back here on The Lowdown, we thank you so much for tuning in. Nancy Lieberman is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, as soon as we get her on the phone. A couple of text messages, 44-11, 40 in response to what coach would you like to play for? Paul Brown comes through. I love texts. They're almost always my favorite. I'd play my heart out for Jerry Reynolds. Yeah.
Coach Jerry.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't play their heart out for Jerry Reynolds? Jerry Glanville is another name that's come through here.
he leaves tickets
again,
for Elvis.
Bill Walsh.
Who doesn't want to play for a coach who leaves tickets for Elvis?
That is absolutely tremendous.
But that coach,
Jerry Glanville, was an interesting guy.
Yes, he was.
He was an interesting coach.
It's like, you know, it's amazing how there's so many professional coaches where their personality kind of transcends what they were able to do on the field. Like, Bum Phillips never really, they never won anything.
Right.
They could never beat Pittsburgh. But love that coach.
Yeah.
I loved Bum when I was a kid.
I know Jerry Glanville came into Sac State. Like, at the end of his career, he coached Portland State. Like,
that's right.
Maybe 2 or 3 years. And I was so excited. I'm like, this is going to be fun. And he had fun weekly press conferences. But other than that, didn't really have a huge impact on the program. But I thought, well, it's a pretty big name going to Portland. We'll see what that does. But, yeah, didn't do too much.
Not so much.
Don't know if he still left the tickets for Elvis or not. I bet he did.
Yeah, I bet he did.
We're obviously having trouble getting hold of Nancy because that's just the way the day has been, and I'm convinced by Nancy Lieberman's last text message that she's actually calling the front desk.
Uh-oh.
As opposed to the studio. So it's like Dancy's never done this before.
Nope, never.
But I think in the past, perhaps we have called her, and I think I, in a rush, may have written down the wrong number for our dear young Matthew, who's probably incredibly annoyed with me today. So I'm going to send him the number again, possibly the correct number this time, and we're going to get Nancy Lieberman on the phone.
It's good news.
What's good news?
It's a three-hour show, so we've got some time.
We'll get her in.
We could even squeeze in a call here. 339-1140. Jerry, what's going on, man?
Hey, not much. Enjoying the show, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Calling and following up on what coach would someone like to play for, and you already mentioned his name. And I mean, he's at the top with the Bill Wooden. I mean, the John Woodens and everyone else, and that's Coach Lombardi.
Yeah.
The reason for that is I don't think a lot of people realize, unless they've done some reading, just how much of he was on the cutting edge during the civil rights movement. There was a time when the league went to him, the NFL told him to not allow mixed interracial marriages on his team because there were some players back in the day that were going to be getting married. And the league tried to step in, and Lombardi told them, "You run the league, I'll run my team." I like that a lot about him.
Yeah.
But shortly after that, the local merchants in Green Bay, restaurants in particular and bars, were not allowing these couples, these interracial couples, to come in to their establishment. So Lombardi made it known to all the merchants and everybody in Green Bay. And I'm not sure if he went on the radio or on TV, but he told all the local merchants, if you don't allow my interracial couples to come in, nobody from my team comes in at all.
Oh, man. I forget how long ago Vince Lombardi actually coached.
Right? And that's a leader. We talked about a coach being a leader and a teacher. That's a leader.
Well, we have a coach and a leader and a teacher on the line right now, and that is the Hall of Famer and Sacramento Kings assistant, Nancy Lieberman, with us. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you've been inundated with requests to talk about Pat Summitt and your relationship. And can you correct me if I'm wrong? We were trying to get the timeline right, and it just seems so crazy that you were teammates with Pat in the 1976 Olympics. Is that correct?
I was teammates with her in 1975 on the gold medal-winning Pan Am team. I was a junior in high school, and then my senior year in high school, I was on the Olympic team when we won the silver in Montreal. And it was Pat who told me a few years back that I was the only player who had played with her, for her internationally, and then against her at Old Dominion.
And it was
unbelievable.
It was only a couple of years later, right? 1979, that Pat was your coach?
She was, but she was my coach. It's a great story. You know, here we are teammates, and like I said, I'm so young, but she was very aware of that on the Olympic team. And then she gets asked by USA Basketball to coach the junior national team in 77. And I was still young enough, because I was under 19, to play. And I'm at my apartment at Old Dominion, and she calls me, and she goes, "Nancy." I said, "Yes." She says, "I need a favor." And I said, "Of course, what do you need?" She says, "I just got offered the head coaching job for USA Basketball of the junior team, and I know you can play on the national team, but I could really use you to play for me on the junior team." And I said, "Of course." She goes, I know you want to play on the varsity, but this would be important to me." And I said, "Pat, wherever you go, I'm there. It doesn't matter where I'm playing." So I did, and I ended up playing on that team. And, you know, we were playing over in Mexico, and she kept saying, I was playing against Hortensia, who's a Hall of Famer, and she said, "Don't you forget who's the best player. Don't you forget who's the best player." And she was so supportive, and she was just amazing.
Well,
as
Nancy,
a friend.
She was supportive, but I know you pissed her off a time or two.
Let me tell you what, she pissed me off a few times. I was walking out of the locker room in the gold medal game in Mexico, and I was standing by a wall, and she kind of backed me up to the wall, and she put her finger like she was pointing on my chest, And she goes, how many rebounds did you average at Old Dominion this year? And I said, 10. And she went, you haven't had 10 rebounds in 2 weeks. If you don't get 10 rebounds, I'm sending you home tomorrow. Well, you can ask Holly Warlick. She was my teammate. I kicked people's behinds on USA team in the second half, mm-hmm. so I didn't get shipped back to the United States.
And everything was fine after the game, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, we used to call Holly Warlick Holly Head because it was Pat Head.
Yeah.
And Pat, and Holly played for her, so we used to kid her that it was her daughter. And we'd go, Holly. And Pat's favorite thing was, Holly, where are you at practice today, you know, mentally? Mm-hmm. And we'd go, Holly, where are you? How come you didn't show up? And Pat was mad all the time. Oh, my gosh. She killed us.
Pat and Holly have been awesome. Inseparable for decades.
Nancy, I'm curious. We have so many great stories about her as a coach, and I know you can add on to those. But how about as a player? What was she like as a teammate?
Well, I was New York strong, and she was country strong. And she just was so tough-minded. And, you know, when I first met her, she was coming off a torn ACL, and they didn't have all the benefits of today's medical technology. She was just grinding it every single day. And we were playing in Columbia, South Carolina. We were playing in the World Championships. And I'm sitting at the end of the bench. You know, I'm 16. They don't even play me. And coach calls me and goes, Nancy. And I'm like, I ain't going in the game. I was so immature. I was like, I averaged 27 points and 22 rebounds a game. And she hadn't used me at this point. I ain't going in the game. And Pat was sitting next to me. She goes, you are going to take off your warm-ups, and you are going to walk to that scorer's table. I mean, she was coaching me. She was parenting me. She was absolutely phenomenal in the time that she would take with me, knowing that I was so much younger than everybody else and really didn't have any friends on that team because of the age difference.
Mm-hmm.
And she would just, you know, she would ask me what it was like growing up in New York, and she told me about, you know, her dad and mom and family, which really took us in so many different directions, because at every major point of my career, I would call her and I would talk to her and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or I'm about to coach in the WNBA. I'm about to coach the Dallas Mavericks D League team. I had someone who could give me reality the way I needed it. And I would stay at the house. My son was there with Tyler when they were, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. Mm-hmm. They'd play, and we'd stand in the kitchen and cook, or we'd go out on her boat. I have such incredible memories. I got the greatest pictures of Pat from 75 and 76. They're hysterical pictures.
Oh, I bet.
You know, Nancy, for women in the world and in sports, there's this thing called the glass ceiling. And I often wonder, did you ever have conversations about that with Pat? How did she feel about that? Was that something she concerned herself with at all, like shattering glass ceilings? Or was she just about, let's just go do the work?
You know, I don't even think that she would know what that word is, because Pat never worried about, from the day I met her, and when she was dating RB when I met her, and he would come out and visit her future husband. Mm-hmm. And to the day she was making $2 million a year, Pat never changed. She was just grateful for the opportunity. She was confident and humble. Think about this, okay? You know, like where Kara is in her career and the memories she has. When Gina was first starting at Connecticut, Tennessee was like America's team. Mm-hmm. It was like the dream team. She could have told Oklahoma and TCU and all these other teams, you have to come to Tennessee to play us. But you know what Pat did? She took Tennessee and she went to Storrs, Connecticut. She took Tennessee and she went to Norman, Oklahoma. She was building your program, showing your recruits what it was like to play in front of a sold-out building with TV and national exposure. She was willing to not only build her program, but she was willing to help you build yours. I don't know many people who would have done that.
And that's why, as we've talked so much about Pat Summitt today, it can't be understated that she built women's basketball to the point where a WNBA could happen, to a point where
absolutely
UConn could be as dominant as they are.
Yes. Yeah, she taught us how to recruit. She taught us what mattered. She taught us loyalty. She taught me loyalty. Look, I had finished my freshman year at Old Dominion, and we had had a bad situation with a coach, Sam Parsons. And I called Pat when the season's over. This is 1977. And I said, Pat, I want to transfer to Tennessee. I want to come play for you. And she said, baby, I would love you to play here. And I know how many championships we win. But if you come to Tennessee, everybody's going to think that we cheated, that I cheated because I was your teammate for 2 years and I had an unfair advantage. And she said, Nancy, more than anything, you have got to learn how to overcome adversity in your life. If you quit now and leave, you'll quit at other things in life. And at first, I didn't understand what she was saying, but it made me a better person because I never quit at anything that I've done after that because of what she taught me. And I teach that to my son, TJ, you know, right now in life as a young person. I'm still extolling her values of how to handle yourself.
Nancy, you're a coach now. Is there anything in, like specifically, maybe a particular philosophy, a particular drill, or maybe even a phrase that you've taken from Coach Summit and you're using in your teachings now?
She used to tell us to show up, show up. I expect you to show up every single day. Show up. This is what we do. And what she was saying by saying, show up, be professional. You know, come ready every day to do your job. And, like, even with my players, I was just talking to one of my guys today, Isaiah Cousins. And I was like, Isaiah, whatever you do, you got to show up every single day. And I just stopped in my tracks, and he probably was looking at me like, Coach, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm telling you exactly what Coach Summit would say to me all the time, in good times and bad times, show up, handle your business.
Yeah.
And I'm handling my business. Becky's handling her business because Pat showed us how.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Nancy.
Basketball Hall of Famer and Sacramento Kings assistant Nancy Lieberman joining us. I had heard a kind of a version of the story that Nancy just told about you wanting to go play for Pat. And I could tell you a line, and I'm sure she said this to you a million times. There was no player that drove her more crazy than the Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman. She used to talk about your behind-the-back passes and how you were this young, flamboyant kid, but you were so damn good, it drove her nuts. Because she knew she could only yell at you to a certain extent.
Because I was this young kid. Like I said, I was New York strong, she was country strong, and we'd have to guard each other every day. And it would madden her that I would just do... I was like a little, you know, gerbil on a little wheel. I had so much energy. I would come into the gym, and she's like, Nancy, can you stop hanging on the rim? I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. And she would just laugh at me. And, you know, we were actually really similar in some regard because, like, we were fearless. We had different backgrounds. I remember sitting on the boat with her in Knoxville one day, and she goes, you know, Nancy, we have more in common than probably people think. She says, you know, I had my dad, you know, Richard, and he never told me that he loved me, but I knew he loved me. She goes, and your dad was never there. And that had to be hard for you like it was for me. And she would reveal that hurt her. And I was like, you know, like I would tell her, you know, I never had anybody read me like a nursery rhyme, or I never got a chance to sit with my dad and have a birthday or any of those things. And we would just sit there with each other. We had some deep rooted pain, but we used basketball as a tool. She was angry sometimes. I was angry sometimes, and we played angry all the time. She was like rock solid fundamental, and I was flashy fundamental. But I will tell you this, we're playing in Bulgaria, and Sue Gunner and her are coaching. And I come down, and it's like a 3-on-1, And I throw a behind the back pass, and there's this guy sitting in the front row, and the ball hits the man's program, and the program flies up in the air. And Pat is just yelling, and Lieberman, I told you this is the. And then I run by Sue Gunner, and Sue goes, Bleebs. I go, yeah. She goes, that was a great pass. I said, yeah, it was, right? She goes, I just prefer to go to somebody that says USA on their jersey. And Pat looks at her, hey, why'd you tell that to her? Why'd you tell that to her? I just told her it was a bad pass. She goes, Coach.
Warrior fans are
nice.
Cringing listening to this story. Yeah. Absolutely yeah. Cringing. Nancy, I know, like me, you didn't get the opportunity to get down there in time to say goodbye to her. If you had that opportunity now, what would you say to her?
Well, I've lost two important people in my life this last month. Muhammad Ali, as you know, was a dear friend. And then Pat, and I thought about her on her birthday the other day. Mm-hmm. I would just want to say thank you and I love you, because all she ever did for me was that, again, I mean, these are so personal moments, but, like, I remember, like, maybe 9 months ago talking to her, and I knew I had her on a good day, and I said, Pat, I love you. And she said, I love you too, girl. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that never came that easy to her.
Yeah.
But I knew that it was real, you know? I mean, she touched the lives of so many people, and we all have our story, and we all think we're super important to her, and we were.
Yeah. I'll use the line that that we said with Sally Jenkins when she joined us a few minutes ago, and it's a line that she uses repeatedly, and it's, I may not have been Pat's best friend, but she was mine. And that's how she made us feel.
But it's true. It's true. So they called me on Sunday. I'm sitting in Sacramento, and I get the phone call that says, you need to get on the airplane right now and get to Knoxville. Mm-hmm. I stop everything. I book a flight. I'm on the red eye on Sunday night, and I was going to land yesterday in Knoxville at like 10 a.m., and then about 6 that night, I get another phone call that says, please don't take this wrong, but you can't come out here. You know, hostess is just telling everybody they have to leave. They have to leave because she won't pass away, knowing that everybody is still there. Yeah. And I guess Kara can validate that because she was there, right?
Yeah, and
they were asking people to go.
I know some people believe in this, some people don't. She didn't pass away till shortly after her brothers got there. Mm. So yeah, her brothers were the last two to get there, and spirits. They got there, and it was I think it was less than 12 hours later that she finally passed.
Yeah, I believe in that. I believe that the human spirit just knows that they're either waiting to see somebody or. They can, like, she might have been in that coma, but you can hear people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a medical professional, but, you know, she just needed peace, and she just needed to know it was okay to go. And the same thing with Muhammad, you know, once his whole family got there and everybody said goodbye, it was right after that, you know, he passed away. So
there'll be a time and place to talk Sacramento Kings business, but today wasn't the day. So we'll do this again, Nancy. We really appreciate you joining us, especially on such short notice.
Well, thank you. You know, thank you guys for loving on Pat.
Oh, absolutely. Couldn't be easier. No. Couldn't be easier, Nancy.
Thank you, Coach.
God bless you guys.
All right, Nancy Lieberman there, Kings assistant coach. Just she made the remark about catching Pat on a good day.
Yeah.
The last time I FaceTimed with Pat, she wanted to see the dog. She was with someone. They were talking about the dog. She wanted to see our two dogs, who we have because of her two dogs. Like, okay. I never had a desire to have animals before I lived with Pat. And she had two labs, and I watched the way that she treated them, and I watched the way that they treated her. And those who know me know my dogs are my world. Mm-hmm. And we gave them they were Sadie and Sally, so we had Smoothie and Sprout. That's how we did it.
Yeah.
But I could tell when I, you know, the FaceTime connected and she saw me, she was a bit confused.
Yeah.
Like she didn't know exactly who I was right away. And that's
the
really painful part about the disease that she had, is to know that you had this tremendous relationship with her and she doesn't remember it.
Right.
It's still there, though.
Yeah. It's still there.
But I mean, she just can't, recall it, yeah, but it's still there.
Right. And speaking of relationships, Kara Lawson, I really do think we saved the best for last. She's going to join us in just a couple of minutes, actually, at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. So we'll be back with more of the lowdown here on Sports 1140 KHDK.